Welcome to the Colleen Gallagher podcast. This podcast is for you if you are a magical overachiever, but it seems no matter how much or what you achieve, obtain, or have in this picture perfect life, you feel empty on the inside. Our intention with this podcast is to support you to activate, educate, and empower the overachievers to learn how to create your fairy tale life. We'll support you with clarity on your purpose, emotional intelligence, emotional mastery, spiritual connection, relationship clarity and mastery, digital marketing and sales, and manifestation. We offer content that will inspire you to see no matter how bad your life feels at this moment, you can still absolutely create a life that you love. And this became a passion of mine because I was diagnosed with cancer at age 14, and I suffered for 9 long years after this before I finally liberated myself, which I know can happen for you through this podcast. Download, subscribe, leave us a review to let us know what you're loving, and tune in to receive the frequency. I love you, Colleen. And welcome to episode 129. I am super excited because the person that I'm going to introduce you with and have a conversation with is someone named Christopher, who I met at the Outlier podcast event. If you guys were watching my stories of all those really cool art things that I posted or they're on my wall, and his presence and his energy really grabbed my attention. He was actually the one that took the Louis Vuitton photo that he nailed it and made it to the grid on the first try. And so I wanted to bring him to you because he is a former runway model turned relationship coach and tennis pro. He has built a reputation as a professional host and experienced concierge, as well as a trusted advisor to Los Angeles' most influential based on dating and navigating their ways to successful relationships. Christopher has supported thousands of people through his talks, interviews, and his highly acclaimed relationship podcast and blog, Dating Intelligence. Chris thinks outside the box in the service of reaching your highest potential to look at the core at what is holding you back from successful relationships to help you find your true self. I'm super excited to have you, Chris, and welcome.
Oh my God. Thank you for that amazing intro. And by the way, hi guys out there. And I love the word high achievers. This is amazing to me. So I think that's fantastic. You have a really great audience first and foremost. So thank you for having me.
Of course. And I know they're really going to love you just based on the little conversation that we had, but I want to go into first a little bit, how do we go from tennis pro to relationship coach? This seems two polarity opposites. Like, you know, we're talking about like masculine, feminine polarity, or we're talking about like, you know, the yin and the yang, like two totally different high achieving competition to like love, connecting, sustainability. Right. How did this happen?
So I've always had this ability since I was a little kid, honestly. I'm going to be very honest with you. That's why I jumped into the space a few years ago, because I, as a child, grew up in a family, you know, I just had women. So it was me and my mom and my two sisters. And it was one of those things where I learned how to navigate the space pretty quickly with women. And So I always tell people, I'm just a guy who loves women and knows them really well. And I'm a huge advocate for women. And I want to teach guys how to be better for women by learning how to like to not be an idiot most of the time, and to teach them how to be better for women. So getting into the space for me was pretty much a no-brainer, because I'd always been helping people my whole life on, hey, if they're in a relationship, or if they're having problems, or if they want to meet someone, if they want to date. So I've gotten to learn how to navigate that space at a very young age, and it's just progressed as I got older and time as well. So I've really honed my craft, in other words.
Yeah. And I want to kind of talk about, before I go into the next question, I really want to hone in on this of like, what do you think men or people don't know about dating? Like when you're like, you know, like sometimes we're being an idiot and we don't realize we're doing it. Like, you know, women really well. Like, what are the things that you just wish, like, here's the basic foundation, I don't know, 1 to 3 principles. Okay. I wish everyone knew either about women or dating, or if men knew this, it would like catapult you into,
right. Well, so in the dating space, that for me, the easiest one is just, as long as I feel like, if, especially on the guy side. So if guys are just good listeners, and they ask good questions. You know, most of the time I feel like people in the dating space, and this is for men and women on this one, that they're so focused on, like for guys, just figuring out, how am I going to either get in her pants, or how am I going to like score this girl, or how am I going to move to the next level with her? And women are just like, well, does he check this off my box? Does he check this off my box? And so I feel like first and foremost, just like anything else, Colleen, dating should be fun. You know, that's first and foremost. You're going on a date with someone just to have a good time. you know, and if you guys end up hanging out a little bit longer, or you go on another date, that's just extra bonus for me most of the time. Right. I feel like some of the times people have too much of a, it's either too much pressure. You either have too many criteria, too many non-negotiables, your checklist is too long. And guys tend to love to talk about themselves more than actually listening and then asking a lot of questions to the woman, you know, because I feel like a lot of girls, they respond better first and foremost, because I feel like women need to trust the person that they're with more than what a guy does, you know? Mm-hmm. And so with that being said, I feel like when guys listen, ask good questions, and don't talk about themselves too much, a woman will be able to open up a little bit more. And once they open up more, they're going to be able to feel a little bit more comfortable. And that's what you're looking for.
I love that you shared that, because I think it is really important. I just read something too on the polarity of that around mm-hmm. women with men. It was saying that also women listening better with men, instead of like trying to like find a way to connect with them. It's like, if they're sharing a story, be really attentive and interested in that story, which I thought was interesting, because what you just said too, like really listening, it's like you both have to find, like there's this chemistry part of dating that's really unique, that I feel like why is like love is so, or you know, so mystical or mysterious. Right.
Yes. Yeah.
No one's been able to figure out what is that key component that creates that chemistry, especially over an extended period of time.
Right. Well, let's start from the beginning. So first and foremost, like, you know, like you said, when we met, you know, I mean, you're a beautiful girl, Colleen, you know, you are. And so everybody's always going to be attracted to beauty. And that's the thing that usually happens at the beginning, right? Physical attraction first, especially for guys. And so, but for me, it's like, I just want to know someone, you know, I go, well, who's this girl? Like, you know, we met at Outlier. My goal was like, I want to know what she does. I want to be interested in what she's doing. And that's the most important thing to me. You know, it's like, and after that, it's like, looks and everything else just becomes secondary, because you want to find out what the person has on the inside in order to move forward to the next level of just friendship, relationships, or whatever you want out of that, you know? And so here we are today on a podcast together because I took a chance and said hello. You know, I took that amazing photo of you in front of the Louis Vuitton wall, which is freaking awesome as well. But first and foremost, you know, it's like, I want to know what this person is about. You know, that's what attracts me to people in the first place, and not just for dating or just like, or just wanting to like that person. I just love people in general. And I feel if more people just found themselves interested in what other people are doing, it makes it so much easier just to connect with that person.
Yeah. And there's two things you said that are really important. There's previous people we had in the podcast. I'll just share that too, of David Meltzer and Matt Maddox. And you said two things similar with them is like, be more interested than interesting. And also like that, just love people and love asking questions. So I do feel it's a practice and art. I mean, I also feel like being a coach or a teacher or a leader, like it is a calling inside of you. I do think like, even if we weren't doing this out of a profession, we would do it anyway. Like,
and drive
our friends crazy, because we'd be like, let me help you and do this and do that. And like,
why do you think I'm a coach? Why do you think I'm a tennis coach? You know, it's the same thing. It's like, I'm always coaching.
I love that you shared that. And I think that when you really begin to see that life is about people and the quality of your life really is dictated by the quality of your relationships, you begin to change the way you have interactions and dynamics. Mm-hmm.
That's correct.
So what I want to go into next is kind of a, you know, more personal story, but I think it's really important for this, or that soundbite for this audience is, so the woman you're dating now, or you're with now, or you've been with for a long time, knew her before you were married, your previous marriage, but didn't seem to work out then. And now it has. So can you just kind of tell us that story, and why do you think that it worked this way?
Okay. So I'll start from the end. So about 20 years ago, I met my girlfriend who I'm dating now then. And so we dated for about 5.5 months. At the time she was in her residency, you know, and at the time I had just moved to Los Angeles, you know, I had just stopped modeling, you know, I was going to go into the acting business and things like that. And at the time I was, you know, our timing was just off a little bit. Like I was in the space where I was going out a lot. I was meeting people, networking while she, you know, we'd hang out, but then she'd have to be at the hospital for like 3 or 4 days in a row. So eventually about 5.5 months later, I met this other woman and I really, really liked her. And for the first time in my life, I was like, ooh, I don't want to cheat. I don't want to steal. I don't want to lie. I just want to be a good guy. You know, I just want to let this other girl know, because there's nothing wrong with this other woman. Like, you know, the girl, I'm just like, she's amazing, but she was just, you know, we just didn't match up at the time. So I said, hey, I think I met someone else. I'm going to have to break up with you, because, you know, we really hadn't established that 5.5 months if we were boyfriend or girlfriend. We were still in that phase of just hanging out and dating. And so, but I felt like I owed it to her because she was such a good woman that I needed to be a stand-up guy and to break it off with her. Now, fast forward to that next girl that I broke with my girlfriend for to date this other girl, that woman became my wife. And so we were together for 17 years and, you know, we communicated really well. We always had great communication. And so when we broke up, we're still best friends to say we're amicable. You know, we have two kids and we just get along really well. But she just didn't want to be married anymore. So, and I was like, you know, I had to listen to that and I was fine with that. So about 4 months later, I reached out and I saw that the previous girl, I go, oh, it's her birthday. Let me just reach out and say happy birthday. Like I did every year. But for some reason she had posted something at the Hollywood Bowl because I thought she was in New York, you know, doing her doctor thing in New York. So, and I DM'd her and I go, hey, are you in town? And I didn't think anything of it. She DM'd me back and goes, no, I live here, Chris, I'm back here. And I was like, oh, well, do you want to maybe catch up one day? And so we started talking for about a week. We hit it off really well. About a week later, we met at Beauty in Essex down in Hollywood. And I think I planted a kiss on her in like 10 minutes after that moment. And we've been inseparable for 6 years now. So, but the funny thing is this, that the timing worked out really well. And, and what you were asking was the fact that at that time, we were just not in a space to make it work. But this time moving forward, I had matured a lot more since then. You know, I've been married, I'd had kids, and I just knew that I was a better person. You know, as a man, I was just a better man at that point. And so now being with her now, it's just like, we're just in this space where it just matched up really well. And the funny thing is, it's like, if we would have continued to stay together back then, we would have broken up. We wouldn't have stayed together.
So, okay, this is really fascinating. I want to like kind of dive a little bit deeper into this. So two things. So since we have a large male audience, do you feel like a part of you breaking up with her was just because you weren't ready for her? Do you feel like maybe you weren't enough, or you think it just literally you weren't compatible, or you think it was a mixture of all three?
In all honesty, I just felt like, you know, like I said, I always had a lot of women around me, to be honest with you. And I was just like, you know, I cheated. I did everything, like I said, and because, you know, I was in that phase of my life where I just had a lot of women around me, but I just knew for some reason that it wasn't about compatibility. I just think that she just was never going to be around enough for me at that time in my life. And I needed someone to be out with me all the time and running around and going to all these events and things like that as well. So yeah, and eventually I would have done something probably horrible. So I just knew in my head that I needed to end it the correct way. And that's why for the first time in my life, I was like, wow, I did the stand-up thing and I had never done that before.
Oh my God.
It was a mature learning phase in my life as well.
And do you think you learned that? Like, do you think when you did it and like broke up properly, you were like, that was the stand-up thing to do? Like, you think you realized it then, or you think it took you years later?
I knew that at that time because it made me a better man for that next girl who became my wife is what actually did, because it made me go, wow, I can actually, you know, move on to the next girl. I can be more mature. I can actually be the man I should be without having to feel like I'm going to be cheating or running around or doing the wrong thing all the time. I just, you know, I grew up, in other words. And at that moment, it was a pivotal moment in my life of just growing up. So
I love that. And I think what's important for everyone to kind of listen to with that is like, there's a huge part of you that had to listen to your gut.
Yes.
Or your intuition of going like, look, just from an emotional standpoint, this is what I want. But logically she can't be here, whether she's working on her career or she had other commitments that she was doing for what the life I want. I can't be there for what the life that she wants. So like, correct, just call it for what it is, even though there's like this emotional bond. And so it's a really tricky space to be in when you feel that, because you're like, there's this emotion pulling me here, but then there's the reality of life that's like tearing that in a different way.
And you said it correctly, by the way. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say, you said it correctly because, you know, during the years of being married, there were moments when I was like, did I choose the right one? You know, like, because I kept, it's not that I had moments of thoughts of her, you know, like through the years, but it was never like, you know, like continuously thinking about it. It was just moments going, did I choose the right one? Because there was nothing wrong with that girl. You know, like she was pretty amazing. And when we met up again that second time, like right now, it's like, it was fate. Like it was that thing of like, I will never let this woman go ever again. Like I'm never going to let her go because I found my person.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. And it's crazy how sometimes the world works that way of like, things need to happen. And I can look at my own life in certain areas of like, oh, why did that like bond have to break or whatever that it was. But then a couple of years pass and you're like, oh my God, it makes so much sense why it worked out that way. And like, even if it wasn't like, if even there was a magic wand and you would go like redo the past.
It would have turned out the same way.
Yeah. You can't redo it. Cause you're like, I needed to go on this path and this one. And so it's just fascinating because we live such a short time on this life, or, you know, it goes by so quick. They say like the days are long, the years are quick, but like, and when you look at it, like the right people always come together. So I love that you shared that.
Yeah. Thank you. It's almost the same thing as like, if you really think about it, like with friends or like when you're little, like you have friends and you're always, think about it. What are we doing? We're always changing, right? It's just like being in a relationship. It's almost like you're in a relationship, you know, and you're with this person. And I always tell people the fact that it's like, look, and you said something about yin and yang earlier, that that's one of my biggest beliefs. It's like, I go, when I'm with someone, it should be my yin to my yang. You know, it's like, we should be moving along together and our paths are crossing, like, you know, like looping and crossing over at certain times of certain periods of our lives. But in theory, I'm never trying to control her. She should never be trying to control me. And that's where people lose in relationships. It's like one person's always trying to dominate the other when it's like, you should be building the other person up. You should be in their corner cheering. You should be their cheerleader. You should be helping them win to be the best person that they can be. And when that person's down, you should be the one bringing them back up. And when I'm at a low, they should be building me back up. And that's someone that I look for in a relationship all the time. And I feel like a lot of people miss out on just that in general, because they're either being too selfish. They're trying to control, they're being, you know, either like just a whole spectrum of different things versus just being a person that you are there to provide for the other person and vice versa, you know? And that's the type of relationship that I'm always looking for.
I love that. And I want to go into this because this is something we talk a lot about on this relationship. We, in this podcast, we have a few episodes on it. So from what you just said, what are your thoughts on monogamy, open relationship, polyamory?
I'm a serial monogamous, you know, like I believe in it all. Like I'm not a person. I'm never one to judge. I live an open lifestyle, and by open, it's like, I'm just a person who just loves people in general. And so whatever they want to do, it's whatever they want to do. I feel like polyamory people are that, you know, as long as they have great communication, as long as they both know what they're getting into, because eventually someone's going to get hurt. That's usually the case, right? I've seen it happen with a lot of my friends. I've seen it, you know, happen a lot of times. I personally have tried a few times of like saying, yeah, you know, I could have a triple, but it's just like, it's just not who I am. It's not my makeup, you know. I am a one-on-one person, but you know, and as far as the other one goes, I feel like monogamy is great, but I also feel like that, you know, you need to make sure that you're spicing up all the time. You need to make sure that you are communicating your wants and what you want to do, and vice versa. And one of the biggest things that I always say is that there should never be something in a monogamous relationship where you cannot tell your partner something. Like if you're like, for instance, I go, you know what, I need this. But they're too afraid to share that with them because they're afraid of the outcome that they might say no, or they might kibosh it. So what I always tell people is I say, look, I go, why not? You need to ask the hard questions, because if you don't, the worst that can happen is they're going to say yes or no.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. You know, so if you don't ask the question, you're never going to know. And people are usually like, oh, wow, God, I didn't even think about that. And I go, what's the problem here? It's like, it's as simple as just asking what you want. And yes, you know, it's going to be nerve wracking. It's going to be scary. It's going to be this and that. But once you find out that the other partner is okay with it, or let's say they are okay with it, right? I'm just going off of just something like, hey, you know, I want to go out with my friends once a week. You know, what do you think about that? And there, some guys are like, I'm too afraid to ask that because I feel like, you know, she's going to get pissed at me. She thinks I'm going to be doing something seedy. And I'm like, no, you just want to go out with your friends. What's wrong with asking that? You know, it's like, they shouldn't be able to say no to that. So I feel like sometimes it's something as simple as that. People are so afraid to ask the hard questions because they're afraid of communicating. And that's where people get lost.
And that's a huge thing. I agree with you. It's a huge thing. I can't really, like you said, I don't speak anything on polyamory because I don't practice it. So I have no idea. I can't speak on it, but I would say I'm like more monogamy open. So I definitely always have like, I'm a relationship person. So I always have like you could say like my one person, like, it's not like I have two serious people I'm dating at any specific time. Like that would be like my mind, like my mind would be blown.
Right. But let me ask you this, Colleen. So at the beginning though, and this is something, so let's talk about, you're just starting the date, right? You're free. You're dating again. You meet two guys because, you know, you have to be out there dating because first and foremost, you don't really know what one's going to be or what the other's going to be. So, how far, if you're, let's say you go on one date with one guy and you have another date, let's say 3 days later with another guy, right? You like the first guy, that first guy that you're going on the date with, but you're still going to give this other guy a try just in case, because those 2 days or that first date that you went out, that one guy sometimes isn't really enough to, okay, I'm going to shut it down. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. So now the second date you go out on, hey, this guy's pretty cool too. So what do you do now?
So, yeah. So I've never really had that happen necessarily. Okay. Like I feel like I've always been very clear on like what type of guy that I want. Like I'm very like specific and clear. So like, I actually feel like I say no, like I'm like someone who I say a lot more no's than I do yeses. And I've always kind of been that way. But with the people that I've dated, let's say like, and this came more like the college, like we can date this back to like when I was 18, I was just like, really, I didn't even know I was doing this until like probably my late 20s, but I'd always done this. there's always been like that person who I say is my best friend. Like they're the person that I like always think of. I want to share everything with them. Like I want to like do things with them. Like they're the person that like, I always like, you could say they occupy the woman's mind. Like they occupy my mind. They're the one my heart always returns to, but I've always liked like having variety. So I always like going out on dates or like, yeah, they get to go out and have fun with their friends. I go out and have fun with my friends. But I would never like, yeah. In that situation, what you said, like there's two guys I really liked, like there would be a point where I would start to see like, okay, this person would either fit where I want my life to go and it just clicks, or this person wouldn't. It may not be on the first date. It may take 2-3 dates. Like there was a guy that I met recently, and we actually, like, I thought he was really great on the first date. Second one, I was like, okay, maybe there's some things, you know, but maybe it's just like getting to know someone. And like third day, I was like, oh no, we gotta get like, you know what I'm saying? So like,
you're like, he's done.
I don't know. Like, it's not like that. So I don't know. Like I have another date that I am like, that's coming up, but like, okay. I don't know. I'm not someone who just like quickly jumps into something or leaves something.
Right. And
like,
well, that's what I was getting at, because eventually, you know, there's nothing wrong. I guess what I was getting at, what you just said, is the fact that there's nothing wrong with trying to figure it out at the beginning, because I feel like most people are usually probably at that moment to get lucky, let's say, right? And you find, wow, I like this first guy and this second guy. Now it's kind of like, well, let me see. And eventually you're going to, you know, one's going to have to fall off because you're going to start going out with the other one more. I understand that. Yeah. But I feel like people need to make sure that you're keeping your options open until you really figure it out. Because it's like, I never want anyone to just kind of, okay, I have this one date, you know, I'm going to see where this guy goes. And if that fails, now I can go on the next one. Keep your options up. Because once again, what I always tell people, it's like, you should just be going to have fun in the first place, you know, and just see what happens.
Like, even at this point, like I'd say, like, I have someone I've been seeing for, you know, like, I wouldn't say as seriously as it is now, but like someone I've seen for almost 2 years, but I still like go on dates and I still meet other people. And I still, because you still like think like, oh, that's something I never thought of that I would like. Yeah. Or that's like something I never, whatever. And it also like just gives you variety. Like, I don't think there's one person that you're going to meet that's going to like fulfill all your needs. Like, I believe that's a really toxic way to think, because then you're trying to give all of your power into someone. Like, there's not someone who can give you all of tennis, all of working out, all of nature, all of meditation. Like, you need different people to fill different needs in your life. Now, what I don't like the situation that why I prefer open relating versus, let's say, polyamory, like I couldn't do something where there's parts of you that are special that you aren't just going to share with every single person. And if I was with someone that it's like the person I've been seeing the most seriously for a period of time, and I feel like there's nothing special just between me and them, like whatever they are offering with me or whatever I'm offering them, like that's getting shared to this person and this person and this person. Right.
Yeah.
Then to me, it takes away like that. I don't want to call it like, it takes away like the intimacy and like sacredness of love. Cause I'm like a hopeless romantic, and I am like, I know I believe in fairy tales, but like, that's what I don't like. And that's where I think it's taken me a while. Cause I had some jealousy traits for sure. Like unhealthy, I would say, whether it's in my mind or whatever that it was, that would come out. And so I think it's just what you said. It takes like a lot of communication and being open. Yeah. Like, is this someone in my life that I want to like have communication with? So like, there was someone who I dated about 2 years, but we've been friends for 5 years now, like, you know, a long time after that. But we, to even get to a place of friendship that we've had probably a few hundred hours of conversation, like literally having to dive through like, how is this going to work? What would this, what's respectful, what's crossing a boundary, what's not crossing a boundary, like all these different things to even have like a functional friendship. But obviously something within that dynamic, we've saw that there was enough value for us to continue creating memories together, which is important to me.
I think that's great. But the best thing about this, what I'm hearing, is the fact that, you know, you guys were communicating, and that's the most important thing. It's not like you're trying to figure each other out, you know, especially after you're dating and then keeping the friendship alive after that. That needs to be a conversation, you know, because most people, and first of all, kudos to the guy, because most guys, you know, they let their egos get involved and they get pissed off, and then they're like, you know, they just can't do it, because they just feel like, why am I hanging out with you if I can't date you anymore? And now they just feel like it just becomes like this thing that they have. And I sit there and go, well, first and foremost, I mean, you guys got together for a reason. Yeah. Right. So there had to be some special sort of connection there in the first place. And then the crappy part is, you know, when things start dying or dwindling down with most relationships, unless it's completely horrific or the other person's done something completely heinous to you, I don't understand why people can't be friends after that, in theory. You know?
Mm-hmm. And I think that's like where let's say we're talking about like monogamy versus open relating. I can't talk about polyamory. So that's where my open relating comes in. It's like, there's that line where I would say there's, maybe emotional ties, maybe that monogamy would be like, there's no way that would happen. But at the same time, strictly monogamy would be like, oh my God, there's no way that you could go out with your friends once a week. Like, I don't know. So that's where I kind of go into that. So I love that you shared okay. that. I do think the biggest thing is coming back to that communication.
Yeah. Well, this is why I appreciate my girlfriend so much, you know, because the fact that I love being around a lot of women, like, you know, I love like, but I love the flirt, but I also realize that, you know, she lets me be who I am. She lets me go out. She lets me do what I want to do. I have like a ton of girlfriends. She just, if I go, hey, I'm going out, such and such, she goes, go ahead, go have fun. She never, you know, she never gets jealous. She never does whatever, because I communicate that fact, but she also knows that I dote over her all day long as well. You know, and that's the other thing too. So when I come home, I'm like, man, honey, I wish you would have come out with us or whatever. You would have, you know, had a good time, even though, you know, if I want to go out with my friend by myself or whatever it is, but I come home and I just cherish her and I love her so much. And I dote all over her that it's like, she knows that she's safe with me. She knows that she can trust me because I come home and I make sure that she is still my number one at all given times, you know? So she definitely knows that when I'm out with that, it's just Chris being Chris, you know?
That's like the number one I teach this in my How to Make the Awakened Woman Crave You course. I teach you, I teach like the number one thing that women need is safety. So the next thing I want to go into is, from your experience, why do you think dating has become this challenge for many people, especially as they get older?
Challenge. Well, first and foremost, I feel like the dating apps probably have killed a lot of stuff for a lot of people. You know, I feel like not being able to connect in a social setting anymore. You know, like when you meet people that way, I feel like it probably almost gives you a better percentage chance of meeting someone and dating someone versus having to swipe right, swipe left. You know, now, mind you, I know that people are busy. Don't get me wrong about that. But before the dating apps, people were busy, you know, but we'd still find time to go out and meet people. Yeah. So I feel like I tell a lot of people, especially when the people that I coach a lot, I say, look, I go, let's just leave the apps alone for a minute. You know, my job is just to talk to you one-on-one, you know, hey, Colleen, you know, this is what we're going to do. Let's do an exercise. I want you to go out and da-da-da and do this step one, two, and three, you know, A, B, and C, right? That's your goal. And then when you do it, you're like, wow, that was so much better. I met this person. Now you're not only getting more confident and who you are as a person in your own skin, you're out there in the space now meeting people, which is going to make you a better dater in the first place. When you do go out on that date with someone, you know, but when you're swiping right, swiping left on a dating app, it's like, it's just either, you know, you're texting that person. Some people, you know, which I love that they go, hey, let's just get it out of the way. Let's just go meet right away and just get it out of the way. You know, cause if that way, if I don't like you, we're not going to extend it. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
Right. But otherwise people are on these apps. They're, you know, especially with guys might be talking to five girls, trying to figure out who's going to be the best girl I'm going to go out with. You know what I mean? Versus like, and now you're feeling played. You know, three other girls are feeling played and this guy is trying to narrow down who they're going to go out with. And so now you think he's only supposedly only talking to you. He's talking to five other girls trying to figure out, okay, is this girl better than this girl? Who am I going to go out with? You know what I mean? So
yeah,
it's like, taken away. Right. So it's taken away from the communication. It's taken away from the authenticity. It's just, so it just makes it more difficult for people to date now. So that's why I feel like dating is a little bit more difficult nowadays. And as people get older, you know, let's be honest, there's a lot less just to choose from in that theory as well, because people, as they get older, they're married, you know, the dating pool gets a little bit smaller for, you know, the late 30s, 40s and 50s, unless you're divorced, you know, that's another different story as well, because now you're getting out back out into the dating space again, which you're already kind of your head spinning going, okay, what do I need to be? What do I need to do? So there's all these different things out there, but first and foremost, I feel like if you can just, guys, get out there in the world again, go to, you know, not say you have to go to a bar, or go to a club, but just go somewhere that you can just talk to people and it's huge. You know, just go sit next to someone and say hello. You'd be surprised on your percentage of chances of actually dating someone. It raises so much more at that point.
I agree with you. And that's like something I think I even talk in my first book, and within the first chapter, I talk about becoming open, step one. And I say like, just asking people like, how are you? And like genuinely being curious about other people and like saying your truth, so you can actually connect on truth instead of like this, like brush busy life. So I love
Or basically have a stock bunch of, you know, questions you already had out or answers you're going to ask someone. You know, that's another thing about the apps too. It's like, is this person just kind of just being someone else because he can be, or she can be, because you're not meeting them face to face. Right. So I could be feeding you a bunch of lines, but then when you meet me, you're like, dang, this person wasn't the same person that I was talking to. What happened here? So you lose a lot of that as well.
And what I usually recommend too for the dating apps, I agree. So I think the dating app culture, it's a little dangerous because your subconscious mind is always thinking you can find something better. I can swipe and find something better. Swipe and find something better. And it kind of leaves like that. And I think it's beauty. It kind of takes away from the beauty of building something long-term with somebody because there is so much beauty, I feel, in a long-term commitment with somebody. You build memories, you build experiences, you grow through turbulence, like things that you could never do from someone you've just met for 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, you know? And I always say when people go on the dating apps, like the first thing is you want to find like what you have in common. So I always say like, have your questions, that, like find, you know, what you have in common. And then from there, ask to have a phone call before you actually go on the date. If you want to
see, I like that.
Like good chemistry. So go from like the different things of like, oh, I saw that you like to travel. I like to travel. I saw that you like this. Like if there's no common denominator between you guys that you can find very easily, it's probably not going to be a match. So
that's right.
Once you find that match and you're messaging back and forth, like that's kind of what you want to do. Then you want to ask if you can get a phone call, see the chemistry, and then from there go on a date. Cause I've done the latter where I haven't done that phone call and I'm there. I'm like, oh my God, this is absolutely terrible. How do I get out of here as soon as possible?
But how did you feel on the texting portion before that? You know, when you went from texting to, let's say that, and missed the phone call, how did you, obviously you went out with this person to meet them. So there must've been something that was right there, correct?
From where?
You said you skipped the phone call portion. So when you went out, were on the dating app, you skipped the phone call.
I said, when I did skip it, I would go on the date and it was terrible.
Well, that's what I meant though. So the date
phone,
was terrible.
The phone call added a lot because it made me feel like I wasn't wasting time or wasting somebody else's time. That's why I like it. Cause like, even though you're texting, it's like, okay, wow, we found something in common. Like, hey, I think, you know, it'd be really great. Let's just hop on a quick phone call to make sure like we'd be a fit before we go to dinner. Or like, I don't know, going to hike. I don't know, before you're like with this person for a couple hours, you know, like what do you do?
So it's a time commitment, isn't it? You're just like, oh God.
And I like really value time. And maybe that's like, because I had cancer at a young age, but to me, like time is the most precious thing because there's no greater way for someone to say, I love you to you than like them giving you their time, because time is the only thing. It's not renewable resource. Like your energy can be renewable, but what you would do when you're younger, you're not going to do when you're older. Like it's just, time is so precious to me. And like when you utilize time with intention to really create memories that allow you to grow and you want to support other people in growing, I don't know. It just makes me emotional. It's like the most beautiful thing in my
opinion. No, you're right on. You're right on spot with that. Because like I said, but you're one, this is why you do what you do though, Colleen, because it's like you're a good human being. You know, you just want to meet people. You want people to be better. You want people to win. You know, you're that person where when you're with someone, it's your time just as much as theirs. But when you're with them, you want to make the most out of it. And I appreciate that. So,
And I think that's why like that phone call, like I think of dating apps, it kind of helps because it's like, okay, is this even beneficial? And then like, you can like gauge it, or it's easy to say like, okay, like, hey, had a great call. Okay, I'll text you later. And you can like, you know, either go on the date or not. It's an easy like thing. So
I went up to you. I like FaceTiming. I always tell people you should FaceTime them first, because this way you're getting that FaceTime one-on-one with them and you can see them and you can see their expressions.
I've done that too. Mm-hmm, some people have done Zoom or FaceTime. Yeah. So, okay. So the next question I kind of had, that was like some of the challenges, especially with like dating apps. And I think you're right, but like people just getting out there and not feeling like confident in their communication. What would you say are some of the key elements that, you know, overachievers or anyone would need to know to find successful dating? So we kind of said listening already, like becoming a really good listener at what they're sharing, especially with men, making her feel safe within her emotions and who she is. And what would be like some of the other things you think?
So I talk about this, and I have to plug this in my Stay in Your Dating Lane. I'm going to do a workshop on this, which talks about all this stuff as well. But one of the things to make you a successful dater, another thing is to basically narrow down your non-negotiables. That's huge, because I feel like too many people have too many non-negotiables and you're missing out on so many people that way. You know, it's like sometimes if you just narrow it down to your top three, you're allowing yourself to be more open to different types of people who you're like, dang, I would have never thought I would have gone out with this person before, just because that one non-negotiable would have killed it earlier. And you realize it's not really that important anyways. So, so narrow down your checklist, narrow down your non-negotiables. And once again, just be open just to like being a little bit more, well, I guess just be more open when you're out there. Like, don't have any expectations. Once again, just be in a space where you're being present. That's another huge thing, I think, as well, because like, I feel like it's almost like saying, like, right now with this podcast today, right? It's like, I'm coming on the show. You know, you're asking me things that I have no idea what you're going to ask me, but that's the fun of it. You know, that's what keeps it special and entertaining and fun for me, because it's like, oh, she's asking good questions, you know? So it keeps the banter going back and forth. And regardless if it ends up working out at the end of the day or not, you, at least you can leave there going, hey, well, this is going to make me better for the next date, and so forth, you know?
I agree. And one thing that I love that you said that and say the name of your workshop again.
Stay in your dating lane. So okay, I did a stage thing on that, but that's my next workshop that I'm working on.
We'll make sure we put that in the link. So we have stay in your dating lane. Yeah. So the thing that I love that you shared, and I think it is really important with non-negotiables, and what you said of like, Colleen, if you were to go on two dates, and I actually have a blog post, I think I'm two blog posts. One was I met four guys, and out of four guys, which one won the date? And then I have another one that I met two friends at the same time, and they both are trying to, they were like, we both like you. We don't know who you're, so we're both coming to you, and we're going to see who you choose. Like, this happened to me.
Oh my God, that's great.
Randomly. So
yeah,
the four guys, I did a blog post on it, and I did like, and I mean, obviously not their names, or you can't like, you would never be able to figure out who is who or whatever. And I think out of the guys, I think like the four, five, six guys, I think like 50% of them I sent, like they knew I did it afterward.
Okay. Like, gotcha.
It was funny, but, what you said about, like, I feel like why I've never really had something like really stay like along or like, never gotten to that place of like, oh my God, I don't know what guy to choose, is because like, I really like clear of what kind of life I want in the future. And I think that even happened with my business. Like, right when I was 23, I realized like, oh my God, I cannot keep doing a corporate job. Even though I had six figures I was making, I was like, I did a corporate jet that I flew on. I had like a corporate credit card. Like I had a company car. Like there was literally like my expenses were basically all covered besides like my rent and, you know, meals on the weekend. Like everything was basically covered. And so I had this thing that I was like, I just know I'm not going to be happy. And I had this really deep calling within me that I felt like I knew I was meant to travel the world. And I was like, well, what's traveling really mean to me? It means freedom. So I began to understand like, what does freedom look like for me? And then the part that always struggled for me was relationships, right? Because here I was like super successful as a very young woman. Then I started my journey in the online world, which gave me hyper freedom to do whatever I want, when I want. I did it on my own. And here, like I would have these relationships, but they always like ended in a big drama. I was never really like fulfilled.
Okay.
It was like boring. And so I had all these like issues around that. And I had to start looking, well, if I want freedom, and I feel like the relationships coming into me are hindering my freedom, that's never going to work for me. Right. So I had to go through this like journey, I feel like, which was my business in many ways and different life relationships of like, what type of relationship is going to let me still feel free and also feel like fulfilled. And there came this point of like this non-negotiable list. You say, I call it my standard list, but like my standard, what I want or what I desire. And it's funny because the people that I meet now or the guys that I meet, like, it's really easy to tell just by them talking. Like I can already categorize like where they would go very easily, or like even in friendships that I meet or business relationships, anything. So I think that's really important. And I love that you shared that.
Yeah, no, it's super important. And I love what you're saying about your journey, because that's the other thing, guys, too, is that everyone has to go on their own personal journey. Like my goal is never to, as a dating coach in the space that I'm at, what makes me special is that my job is never to tell you what to do. My job is to listen to what you have, what you want to know. So I'm listening to you, right? And then my job is to ask good questions. And then all of a sudden you're like, you already know your answer. Most people already know their answer. They just avoid it. They just don't want to do it, or they just need to hear it again. So what I do is I always spin it back by saying, look, everyone needs their own personal journey to get from point A to point B. I can only show you how to do that by making you a better person, but you specifically have to take the ownership and do the work. And I love that the fact that, you know, like you, if you knew you're unhappy with a job and all that, I love that you went out on your own and in your own space, because you're going to have that freedom. You're going to be, successful and more happy in the first place. And that's the most important thing.
Yeah. And like, even in my first year, right? Like I made like just under, I think what I made in my corporate job, like by maybe 5 to 10,000 or something like that. And then every year since then, like last year I tripled
I was
making. Like, so if you think of like, just like, but yeah, 3.2X or whatever. So if you think about it, like, that's not that long, like 5 years or 3.2X, what your starting career was like. And I just know it can happen for everybody, but you just, it takes like a lot of what we're talking about. You can take the same thing, like communication, knowing what you want, standards, like the same thing for your career. I call it,
you have to get out of your own way. That's what I call it all the time.
I love
you
that.
You have to get out of your own way, because most of the time there's when someone thinks outside the box and wants to do something, what's the first thing we do? They're either too afraid, or they go, no, well, I just don't have the time, or they quite frankly, just don't do it at all. Yeah. And so I feel like if people just get out of their own way and just take those chances, it's going to open doors up to many more different avenues, and you're going to be just a happier person in general.
Yeah. Okay. And so two more things we have that I'm really excited mm-hmm. about, because I agree with you on all this. So what do you wish everyone knew about love and dating?
What do I wish everyone knew about love and dating? All right. I'm going to have to use this one, because the first thing that comes to my mind is that I feel like say that again one more time, because then I'm going to answer.
What do you wish everyone knew about love and dating?
First of all, what I want everyone to know is that you need to love yourself first. That's mm-hmm. what I want everyone to know. Because if you can't be your true authentic self, you're never going to be good for anyone. And I dropped the mic on that one, you know, because yes. you need to discover what you want. Like you just said about yourself right now, Colin, you need to understand who you are, what you want for yourself, and what you can be for someone else. And if you're not whole, it's never going to work out for anyone, because if you're carrying baggage or if you're struggling with something else, you need to just take that time out for yourself. You need to work on yourself first. And that's first and foremost. You know, one of the things that who I am is what you see. I'm an open book. You know, I know who I am through and through. Like if I'm the first to admit when I'm wrong, I'm the first to, like, if I want to learn something, I'm always eager to learn. You know, I'm always eager to meet. This is why I love meeting people all the time, because it's like you're learning from someone new when you meet them all the time. And that's what people should be doing, you know? So first and foremost, just love yourself first and work on yourself.
I agree. Cause I think we all, like, we put this, I call it the one syndrome. We put all this pressure on finding the one.
Yes.
And then when we put all this pressure on finding the one, we often can like miss out on who's actually for us, because we're so focused on like this perfect person, instead of like looking at, I don't know, not, I don't want to say like our faults, but looking at like what we can improve on, what we really want. And we mm-hmm. put that pressure on somebody else, which like isn't fair, because it has to, like, we have to love ourselves, and we have to, like, I don't know, that's start correct. From within, basically.
And not, yeah. Like, because if you're not your true authentic self, then you're missing out on a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Okay. And then the last thing is, anything else you want to leave us with, and then where people can find you and your information? And we'll obviously leave your podcast link in the show notes, and also link to your workshop.
Thank you. Okay. So you can find me, guys, on social media. If you guys have any dating questions, I usually do like a 15-minute Calendly, intro. Please just reach out and just talk to me for 15 minutes. You'd be surprised on what I can find out. I'm pretty quick at sussing people out, usually within the first 3 to 5 minutes. And people are just blown away by how quick I can suss people out. And you can find me at Fetch Sport, FetchSport, Fetch Sport on social media, and at Dating Intelligence as well. Obviously, Colleen said, you know, my website's www.dating-intelligence.com with a hyphen in the middle. Like I said, just reach out, ask questions. Colleen, I'm going to send you my Stay in Your Dating Lane show that I did, because the stuff you were just talking about, that's exactly what the whole situation is. And so, guys, I'm doing this workshop coming up, and I'll also be out, you know, speaking again as well on this subject matter as well. So look out for me around the country. But that's about it.
Yay. Okay. Yeah. And all those links, I'll make sure. So a few things that you guys know. So we'll have the links in the show notes for the 15-minute call, the podcast, and the upcoming workshop.
Thank you. Thank you.
So, well, I love you, and I'm so grateful you guys.
Thank you.
Make sure to leave a review and let us know what you loved, and tune in to Receive the Frequency, and we'll see you guys on the next show.
Bye, guys. Mm-hmm.